Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 1. This is from the last book of the Bible, yet this book of Revelation uses as for its symbols and points of teaching concerning the Lord's church and what we as Christians need to follow, uses many, or as symbols, many passages and events, prophecies from the Old Testament, and we see use of one of those from the book of Ezekiel that is brought out in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 11, where he says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." Back in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord gave him a rod to measure the temple of his vision with. So we can see that same language and situation brought out here. But of course, he's speaking here about the spiritual temple of God, not the physical one. That spiritual temple of God, by this point, in fact, the physical temple in Jerusalem no longer was in existence. So here's God using that from the Old Testament language of that physical temple. Even though the prophecy in Ezekiel also concerned the church. But the Lord's church is that spiritual temple. We have a number of passages in the New Testament that teach that. The last of Ephesians chapter 2 and also in 1 Peter chapter 2. The Lord speaks about the spiritual temple being his church. And we see that here also. But he's asking John the Apostle here in this vision to measure this temple, but he's speaking about his church. And we can see that very clearly, as the measuring is not just of a building. It's also of them that worship therein. So we see the very individuals that make up that temple. We're the living stones in that temple. God is going to measure his church. He's going to measure each one of us, each individual that's a member of it. There's going to come a day when we're going to be before God in judgment, and he's going to pronounce our judgment. He's going to give his measurement of us then. We also remember in the Old Testament an individual that faced such measurement. There it was referred to as being weighed in the balances. Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5, and that's that great chapter that speaks about the handwriting on the wall, and that handwriting on the wall that was written in a language that required God to reveal its interpretation through Daniel the prophet. The writing on the wall, he said in Daniel 5, verse 25, was many, many tekel upharsin. Well, in verse 27, the meaning or translation of that word tekel that was written on the wall about Belshazzar, king of Babylon, the Lord said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." God measured him, weighed him, and he was found lacking. Now, what that meant for him at this point is expressed in verse 30 when it says, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain." So when God pronounced that measurement, that weighing of Belshazzar in the balances where he was found lacking, God took his life, and so there was God's judgment in its finality. So God is going to measure, he's going to weigh all of us. Now, we don't want to end up like Belshazzar. We don't want to end up being measured or weighed in the balances to be found wanting. And at that point, when God pronounces his final judgment on us, on that ultimate day of measurement or judgment, where we are condemned, and it's too late then for us to do anything about it. So in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31, a verse that's very appropriate, we just partook of the Lord's Supper, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in this passage that pertains to the teachings about the Lord's Supper, where we are commanded to examine ourselves as we eat that bread and drink that cup, which we have just done a few minutes ago. About that self-examination in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." If right now we take the opportunity to examine ourselves, to judge ourselves by the standard of God's measurement of his word, we have the opportunity now, before it's too late, to make changes so that when we're weighed in the balances by the Lord, we won't be found wanting like Belshazzar was. When he measures us, then that we will not be found lacking his standard of measurement. So we need to measure ourselves now before we end up being measured ultimately for our eternity by the Lord. This is the opportunity we have now to do some self-examination, some self-measurement, so that we can correct things before it is eternally too late. Now, as we study about this measuring of ourselves, we obviously have to use the right standard. God gave that standard of measurement to John there in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. The measurement, the standard of measurement was provided by God himself there, just as it was in that passage in Ezekiel when God gave to his angels that measuring reed. God is the one that provides the standard of measurement. So when we are to measure ourselves, it's not by our own standard. We're not to be using our own standard of measurement, what we come up with, what we imagine. We're not to measure ourselves by ourselves and by our own standards. Now that is the habit of mankind. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2, Proverbs 21:2, he says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." Very similarly, in Proverbs 16:2, he says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." So we see again that language of weighing or measuring. Now, what do people do with themselves? They tend to use as their standard of judgment their own thoughts or their own standard. And so if I'm going to look at myself and judge myself by my own standard, then how do I pronounce myself? I weigh myself in the balances and I come out measuring out quite nicely when I do it myself, don't I? And what about you with yourself? And if we do it that way, then we're doing like everybody else. And we're going to look at ourselves or measure ourselves our own way. But what is he making the contrast with there? When we do that, when people do that, and that's the nature of man to do that, that becomes a very different standard of measurement from what God uses, doesn't it? So we may be right in our own eyes, or all our ways may be clean in our own eyes. But who's the one pondering and weighing the spirits? And who's the one that's going to end up ultimately pronouncing what our true measurement is? How we do weigh in his balances? It's going to be God. He's not going to judge us by the standard that we come up with for ourselves. Well, Lord, I'm clean and all of my ways are clean in my own eyes. He's not going to say, okay, well then you're clean and come on in, enter into these gates, into the joys of your Lord because of that. No, that's not the way it's going to go. He's going to measure us by his standard. So if we're using a different standard than what God is using, what we come up with for our own measurement is going to be off the mark. And then what's going to happen in the end? Well, it shouldn't be difficult for us to see what the implications of that are going to be for our eternity. But that's why the Lord warns us about this. And in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, he warns us away from leaning to our own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." And then verse 6, he says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." So we can see in those three verses, the Lord is directing us away from using our own standard to measure ourselves. So we are not to lean to our own understanding. If I lean to my own understanding, then how do I look in my own eyes by my own understanding? I come out looking pretty good. But when the Lord, if I am measuring myself by God's standard, if I'm trusting in him and I'm not being wise in my own eyes, but I'm using the standard God gives from his word to look at myself, well, then that's going to be very different. And that's what we need to do. And not be trusting in our own understanding or leaning to it. We need to trust the Lord. Now, what's the tendency of man when he's using his own standard to measure himself and all of his ways are clean in his own eyes, and then somebody comes along and reminds him of the Lord's standard of measurement and what he looks like in the Lord's eyes and how different that is from how he's seeing himself in his own eyes? What's the typical response of someone in that situation? What happens when somebody tells someone that they're not right or they're wrong about something? How many people say, well, thank you for that. I appreciate you helping me to see my errors, and I'm going to try to correct that. That's not the typical response that people give. Just like people typically are going to justify themselves, rationalize their behaviors to where they're all right and clean in their own eyes, so it is and goes along with that when somebody comes along and tells them something different, that they're going to get upset about it, that they're going to despise or hate the correction and reproof that they receive. Now, this is a subject also that is dealt with extensively in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 9, in verses 7 through 7 and 8, he says, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Now, there's the right way. And if we are wise, we're not going to be leaning to our own understanding. We're not going to be right or make our ways clean in our own eyes. And so if somebody's helping us in measuring ourselves by God's standard, if we're wise, then we will appreciate that. And we will love the one who's helping us to measure ourselves rightly, so that when God measures us, that we will not be found wanting in his balances. But sadly, we know that the majority of people are going to hate the ones and scorn those reproofs and rebukes. And so God said, don't rebuke somebody who's like that. In chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15, and verses 10 through 12, we see the same point taught again. He says, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." And so we again see the nature of man and his response to correction, and the general approach of rejecting that and hating the one who provides it. So in Proverbs 23, verse 9, he says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." Well, we don't want to be that kind of person who despises the wisdom of the words that a godly person brings to us using God's standard of measurement to try to help us. But this is what the nature of man is. In fact, Jesus also mentioned that fact and taught the same principle in Matthew 7 and verse 6 when he said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Very same principles we were reading there in Proverbs chapters 9 and 15 and 23. Well, we see the same thing also brought up by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4 and verse 16. When the brethren there that he had been used by the Lord to convert to Christ, and then they were following after false doctrine and he corrected them, then they turned against him. The very one who had converted them to Christ, they turned against him when he was correcting them for departing from the truth. And so in Galatians 4:16, he said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now, what was the answer to that question? Yes, he had become their enemy because he was telling them the truth. He was using God's standard of measurement to measure them, but to help them to measure themselves by. And they didn't like that. They didn't appreciate that. And then Paul became their enemy. The one who had converted them to Christ in the first place became their enemy because he was telling them the truth that they didn't want to hear. It was not something that went along with the way they were rationalizing and justifying themselves. So in that respect, then, if we are using our own standard to measure ourselves thereby, and then we turn against and reject those who try to help us to use God's standard of measurement, who are we really hurting then? Who were the Galatians hurting when Paul became their enemy because he told them the truth? Were they really hurting Paul? Were they really damaging Paul's soul in that? I mean, that wasn't going to send Paul to hell for them to become his enemy because he was telling them the truth. It's not going to, somebody that's trying to help us and correct us in a loving and kind way with God's word, it's not going to condemn their souls to hell if we reject what they're saying and get upset or mad with them and they become our enemy. That's not going to destroy their souls. Who is it going to hurt? That's going to hurt our own souls. using our own standard of measurement for ourselves is going to cause us to be destroyed. And so in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31, he shows us what that outcome is for ourselves ultimately if we are despising correction from the Lord. Proverbs 15:31, he says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." And then verse 32, he says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." So if we refuse instruction, if we refuse the Lord's standard of measurement from his instruction, his word, then he says we're despising our own souls. Well, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12 says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." Seeing ourselves as being clean and pure and washed, does that make it so? If we pronounce ourselves that way, does that mean that is true? It doesn't. God's the only one that's going to be able to pronounce us to be clean. And pronouncing ourselves as such by using our own standard, it's going to lead to that very picture that he's given there. It's illustrative there when he says that they are not washed from their own filthiness. They see themselves as clean when they're actually spiritually filthy. So here is the way that might seem right, our own way, by our own measurement. But where does it lead? Proverbs 14 and verse 12, and this is something he repeats exactly verbatim in Proverbs 16:25. So if you want to read it right now, you can turn to either one of those. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16 verse 25. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So that's going to lead to our eternal destruction if we measure ourselves our own way and if we're clean in our own eyes. Which is why the Lord says that only a fool will reject his counsel and will see himself as wise. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, Proverbs 12, 15, he says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." So that way of measuring ourselves and using our own standard to justify ourselves and rejecting God's, that's the way of a fool. It's going to lead to our own destruction. Now, the sad fact is, when we read Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, that broad road that leads to destruction, why is it so broad? It's got to fit everybody who's on it, and that's most people. That straight and narrow road that leads to eternal life, I mean, how many people are on that road? He says, "Few there be that find it." So how many people will receive God's measure, his standard from his word, what teaches us how we should be, and use that and then accept that correction and measure ourselves by that and change what we need to before it's too late? How many do that? He says only a few will do that. We better be among the few. We better not be wise in our own eyes. We need to fear the Lord and depart from evil, as we saw in Proverbs 3 and verse 7. In the New Testament, we see the same context, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. He says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Exactly what we're reading in Proverbs. If we are using our own standard and we're pronouncing ourselves commended, that doesn't make it so. It's only whom the Lord commends that is approved. He's the one with that say on that matter, and so we better use his standard and not our own, because commending ourselves does not make us commended. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. As the Apostle Paul was being inspired here in speaking of himself, this is the way it needs to be with every one of us. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Paul was striving to know himself, to see himself as he was seen and known. And of course, the complete word of God was going to be the standard of measurement to enable that to happen, which is actually the context there with the about the revelation of God's word. And when that was completed, that's what would be able to be done. Well, we have God's complete revelation. So therefore, we have the ability then by that standard of measurement God has given to us to know ourselves even as he knows us. He's pondering our hearts. He is the one weighing us weighing our spirits. And so by His Word, we can weigh ourselves and measure ourselves by His standard and then not be found lacking. Which is the reason why the Lord gives us the command that He does in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. We need to bear in mind this was written to Christians. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. So it's written by extension, therefore, to us today. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?" He says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith." Now he's speaking those words, writing those words to Christians. Isn't it a given that we are in the faith as a Christian? Well, yes, we have to be to become one. But then do we just stop? Do we stop measuring ourselves or no longer examine ourselves at that point? What's going to happen? Well, what happened in Galatia? Those brethren were converted to Christ. And then very soon, Paul marveled in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 5, how soon they had been removed from the one who had called them unto another gospel, which is not another. But they had departed from Christ so soon after their conversion. And then Paul corrected them, and he became their enemy for telling them the truth. So it can happen very fast. So he tells us, examine ourselves. We need to look at ourselves right down to the root of it. Are we in the faith? Are we doing what's right according to what God says? Well, that's what we must do. We have to examine ourselves. Now, we're commanded to do so every first day of the week. We just looked a moment ago at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In that passage where he commands us to do that at that time, that's one time every week. We're supposed to start every week, the first day of every week. We come together to break bread. We come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's central to our gathering. And one of the central points of the partaking of the Lord's Supper is examining ourselves. So God commands us to begin every week with that. And that's not the only time we're supposed to do it. That's how we're supposed to start the week. But how often in a week are we supposed to examine ourselves and what we're doing? We need to be doing that every day, every moment of every day, looking at every situation that we're in, our every thought, our every word, our every deed. We need to be measuring that by God's word to measure ourselves and what we're doing by that so that we are right in God's sight and not just right in our own sight. Well, now here's a question. If we shouldn't be using ourselves or our own standard of measurement to judge ourselves by, what about using that of other men? Well, if leaning to my own understanding is no good for me, then what about you leaning to my understanding? My understanding is no good for me, and it's no good for you either. Your understanding is not good for you or me either. So that means any of our own wisdom and understanding, any measuring of ourselves by man is faulty measurement. It needs to be rejected. Well, what's the problem with man? Romans 3:23. What's one of the big problems of man? Well, we know that everyone has sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What kind of a standard are we using when we're using man to measure ourselves by? Well, we're using a standard that's not an accurate one at all. And if we're following man, Are we going to achieve and come up with God's glory? Are we going to meet with that? Or are we going to fall short of it? Well, again, if leaning to our own understanding is going to prevent us from being able to be who God intends for us to be, well, the same would be true if we're following someone else's, some other man's. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul, inspired of God, in this verse says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Literally, that means they are not commended. So they were commending themselves by measuring themselves by others. But they were not, in fact, commended by God, as we've already seen. If we're doing that, if we're trying to commend ourselves, we're not going to be. In fact, that was that same chapter in verse 18 that we read from and saw that a moment ago. We have an example in Luke chapter 18 of a man that was using others to measure themselves by. And we can see the danger of that illustrated in this parable of Christ in Luke chapter 18, 10 through 14. Jesus said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, therefore, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, in verse 11 there, the Pharisee was using whom as a standard of measurement for himself? Others. He said he was thanking God that he was not as other men are. Well, extortioners, unrighteous, adulterers. And then he says, or even as this publican. Now, actually, if he were using that publican as a standard of measurement accurately in this situation, he would have been better off than he was by what he was doing there. Because that publican, in actuality, was humbling himself before God. But that's not how he was using him. Of course, he was looking at this one. He was a tax collector for the Romans. And so they were despised by the Jews. And so he was looking at these other men and their shortcomings and using that as a standard of measurement. Well, I'm not like that, so I'm okay. Well, see, that's a real temptation. If we choose men for our standard of judgment, we'll always be able to deceive ourselves into thinking that we're okay because we'll be able to find somebody that looks worse off to ourselves than we are, right? We can find that. It's like, well, if that's our standard, well, I know somebody, they're worse than I am, so I'm okay. I mean, is that going to make me okay with God? Well, they may not be okay, but that doesn't make me okay either, does it? Again, we have to use God's standard. We can't use mankind as our standard of measurement like people will tend to do. Well, this Pharisee also, in addition to using other men, we see was doing the thing that we were looking at first, as he was measuring himself by his own standard in verse 12 when he said, I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all I possess. He was justifying himself. He was wise and righteous in his own eyes. But whether it's by using ourselves or other men as our standard, that's not going to make us right with God. God tells us not to do that. If we're measuring ourselves by ourselves or comparing ourselves with other men, we're not going to be commended by God. We're going to be found wanting when weighed in the balance. Tonight we want to continue this study by looking at the right standard of measurement. Yes, we've been considering that. We've been able to see that as we've been looking at these scriptures that teach us what not to do. But we really want to delve into what the Lord gives us as our ultimate and proper standard of measurement. And for us as Christians, as we want to close this morning, reading from Ephesians 4:11-13 is really an introduction to that, where we want to go tonight. He says, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's our standard. We need to measure ourselves by Christ and see who He is in His fullness, in His spiritual completion. We need to measure ourselves by that standard and strive to come to that standard, which is God's standard for us. He's going to be measuring us by that standard, by His Son. And so there we can see the standard we need to be measuring ourselves by, striving to be like Christ, not rationalizing, justifying ourselves by making ourselves wise and clean in our own eyes, or commending ourselves as we compare ourselves to some other men. No, we need to use that proper standard, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Lord willing, we'll continue with that, looking at that tonight. But at this time, we want to take this opportunity to encourage anyone that is here that has not yet become a Christian. This is an opportunity for you to measure yourself right now, to see that in God's balances outside of Christ, you are found wanting. When you are in your sins, you are lacking. You have come short of God's glory, as we all have. But the Lord has provided the way to be reconciled with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And if you will repent, change your mind of the way you've been living and now follow Him in His footsteps, seeking to reach that standard of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, then the Lord is ready to receive you as you obey His gospel to repent and be baptized in His name for the remission of your sins. If you are a Christian, if you, by the Lord's measurement right now, are found wanting, if you need to change things in your life to be right with Him so that when measured by His standard that you are not found lacking, but will be prepared for the judgment. If there's something you need to do in repentance this morning or need the prayers of the church, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, please come now while we stand.